El Javi joins the program now. Welcome, Javi.
Thank you. Thank you, Luke. Thanks for having me here.
You're very welcome. I can't figure out if I call you Javi or El Javi.
Well, either way, I will turn if you call me. But obviously, as you know, my stage name is El Javi. But growing up, you know, my friends and family just call me Javi.
Right, right. So you grew up in Mexico City, didn't you?
Yes, yes. 19 years of my life I spent in Mexico City before moving to Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. And did the flamenco bug bite you in New York or in Los Angeles?
Well, flamenco started even when I was a kid, actually. Growing up, a lot of my family, especially my great uncles, they loved all the Spaniard-like lifestyle, bullfighting, flamenco, and all this. So I grew up listening to flamenco, but it was not until like 2003 or so that I started like fooling around with it on guitar.
So when did you pick up the guitar? Were you just a kid when that happened?
Yeah, I was 12, and I always tell the story that I actually started playing the guitar because I'm too lazy to do sports till this day. And, you know, usually when you're a kid, your parents have you do something to keep you occupied after school. And sports, like I said, was not my thing. So guitar was the next option, and boom, like I just found my passion.
Wow. So you were lucky. You found it early in life.
Yeah. Definitely, I consider myself very lucky because I see how a lot of people, sometimes even up till their dead, they never find what they were here for, kind of.
Yeah. I know. That's so sad, isn't it? It sounds like a sad flamenco song.
Yeah, definitely. The world has plenty of stories to write about.
You know, when I think of flamenco, I think of duende. I think of that passion behind it. Tell me about that. It's an emotional music. Is that your take on it too?
Yeah, definitely. Well, obviously, historically, flamenco was created by the gypsies, especially in the south of Spain. And they were a community that was very oppressed. You know, they were not considered citizens. So obviously, it carries like hardship, emotional baggage, the style on its own. What I really like also is the fact that it's very virtuoso, you know, like it takes a lot of practice and mastery on the instrument and anything else too, like the dance and everything, to really be able to connect to that emotional aspect as well. And for me, it's my language of expression, definitely. Like, even though I mix it with rock, having that essence of the flamenco technique and the flamenco take on my compositions really helps me to connect to emotional, you know, be able to tell a story and connect with my spirit even.
Interesting. Well, you know, when everybody thinks of flamenco, they think of that ole aspect, you know, with the finger symbols and the dancing, you know, the dancer hitting his foot or her foot on stage. But there's also a quieter aspect that's very melodic and very penetrating. It goes so deep. Where does that come from? Is that merely chord progressions, or is there something else at play?
Well, definitely the chord progressions carry and an emotional aspect of them, but in flamenco, and flamenco musicians have something that is called duende. In English, means it's like an elf. So it's like a dark muse in a sense. So it's believed that to reach duende, to be able to like let it speak through the music, you know, you have to really be on a like very dark state. You know, there's the gypsies that party all like for a week, and by the end of when they're like jamming, all their sorrows, all their pain, like comes through the music, And that's when sometimes even like the even two notes can carry like such a like heavy load of emotions. So you don't even have to be fire and like rhythmic. Like if you have that ability to express with even a couple notes, people will feel it.
So it's a little bit like the blues.
Exactly. Yeah, I always say that it's kind of like the blues of Spain.
Huh. Interesting. Well, your sound is a fusion of flamenco and rock. So we've talked a little bit about what flamenco does for you and through you. Talk about the rock side of that equation.
Well, growing up, I was a rocker, metalhead, and shredder. And I grew up listening to all the classic rock because of my parents, who are music aficionados. So I grew up listening to Zeppelin, Clapton, Hendrix, David Bowie, you name it. And then once I was able to start buying my own records, I got into metal. So I was into Metallica, Pantera, like Dream Theater, King Crimson, a lot of progressive rock and stuff. So I used to play all that, but it was not until I discovered flamenco that I felt like I was be able to express through music more than with rock or metal. But then the whole idea of sitting down and just playing traditional flamenco also just was too completely to myself because I carry such a rocker soul also. And that's when I decided, like, okay, I'm just going to mix it and see what happens. And there's it's been done before, of course. It's not that I invented the style, but I think what I have contributed to that fusion with rock is it's a little more like harder aspect. You know, the bands that have done fusion, it's kind of more on the soft jazz side of the fusion. But with me, I really dig into the guitar, you know, like immigrant song type of heaviness.
Okay, so a lot of interesting that you went from metal to flamenco, but you know, maybe that's not such a huge leap when you think about it.
No, it's actually very common. A lot of metal guitar players end up like fooling around with the flamenco technique. And I guess it's a lot related to the complexity of the technique. Metal, it takes a lot of practice and precision and dedication. So flamenco's technique is similar on that aspect. So I feel it's not very separated from each other.
Well, you've been playing guitar now for what, close to 20 years?
Like 26.
26 years, wow.
Yeah.
And so do you still practice?
Yeah, I still practice a lot. Like, obviously, life, it's a lot different than when I was 18. You know, now I'm a dad, and you get caught up with other dramas as an adult compared to when you were a teenager. But I definitely still spend like at least like 2 to 4 hours a day practicing, and plus rehearsals with my drummer or with a band and composing. But yeah, then I still have all the business aspect of being a musician, so I also spend a lot of time on the computer, too.
I watched several videos on your website, and in one of them you were talking about how you don't ski or snowboard because you're afraid of hurting your hands or your wrists.
Well, that combined with my laziness to physical activity, yes. But yeah, no, I'm assuming a lot of musicians have this same situation where we don't want to risk an injury on our hands or arms just so we are able to still perform. You know, it's like the way I make my money.
Yes.
So it scares me to, like, spring even a finger, and then I'm like, what am I going to do for the next shows?
Wow, so I guess you have to insure your hands.
Yeah, it's something that people have asked me before, that I should do that. And maybe when I have that extra cash to also pay for an insurance on my hands, I definitely will.
Yeah. Oh, I know that feeling. It's sort of low on the priority list, but we won't go there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, another thing I noticed about your hands watching those videos, aside from how fast they're moving across the fretboard, which is a given, but the length of your fingernails, I think I caught a glimpse of a pretty long thumbnail. Do you have to keep your nails long to play flamenco?
Yeah, definitely. The right hand does need long fingernails because of the strumming and the picking, which it creates also a challenge that makes sure you don't break them, because as you get used to that length, and it's kind of like a extra length and distance on your fingers. So when you're playing and you have your fingernails so perfect, You practice like that, you play like that, and it's all good, the sound is great, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as there's a little chip on your fingernail, then you feel like you suck. Like, your fingers are all over the place, you get sloppy, so it's a whole another thing.
Wow, so it's an emergency when you break a nail.
Well, there's a few techniques. The one I used is I cut a ping pong ball, believe it or not, and then I glue the ping pong ball on my the nail that is there to make the length.
Oh wow, that's a little known secret. I had no idea. How about that?
I've tried the regular stuff like acrylic nails and all that, but it's too thick. And I found out about the ping pong ball through like some flamenco forums. That's kind of common between flamenco players because it's the material of the ping pong ball, like the elasticity and the strength is similar to the nail more than an acrylic nail.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, do they use that trick in Spain also?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
How often do you go to Spain?
The only time I went was when I went to study there in 2005 or 2004, if you can remember now. Spent 4 months there, and I haven't been back since then. And I want to go back. Actually, my drummer right now, Jordi Marin, he's from Barcelona. So we've been talking. Hopefully next year we can set up some shows in Europe and Spain. Because I do want to go back.
Huh. Well, talk a little bit about Jordi. You guys have been playing together for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, it was 6 years. We met in Mexico City. I was actually going there to visit my family, and I booked some shows, so I needed a drummer. And my sister recommended him. And as soon as we met, we became like brothers. Even before playing, we met before the instruments. We were just hanging out, and I felt such a brotherhood with him. So, yeah, it was 6 years ago, and we've been inseparable since then.
And he plays with you. He's playing kind of a stripped-down drum set, including cajon, correct?
Yeah, when we do the duo shows, he plays that set. And that's kind of mostly what we play, playing as a duo. As you know, it's cost-efficient.
Sure.
Like when you reduce the show to two people.
Yeah.
And also it makes it easier to travel too with the reduced kit, where he doesn't have a full like bass drum and toms and blah blah blah. So it's like the cajon, a snare, and a hi-hat and a cymbal.
Okay. Yeah, stripped down is good most of the time, a lot of the time.
Uh-huh. Well, and he uses the cajon as a drum bass. He puts that drum pedal backwards. So his heel, he can use it as a drum bass. A bass drum, I mean.
Well, also in those videos on your website, I saw you on at least one playing an acoustic guitar, but a lot of the time you're playing, well, it looks electric, but it sounds acoustic. Talk about your guitar.
Yeah, I'm actually endorsed by a company called Godin. It's from Quebec, Canada, and they make these guitars, acoustic guitars, nylon string, pretty much like a classical guitar, but it's not hollow body is pretty much solid. And that helps me because of the nature of my fusion, since we're playing like sometimes with a full band and there's this more rock oriented. That way I can reach higher volumes on the guitar without getting a feedback. Because when you have a hollow body guitar, all that noise from the stage, the monitors, the drums, the bass, it goes inside the box of the guitar and then it feedbacks into the pickups.
Okay.
So with a guitar like the one I use, the Godin, I don't have to worry about that.
El Javi, returning to Carbondale, it's good to see you. We'll touch base, and don't break a finger before you get here.
I will try not to. I'll just stay sitting down until tomorrow.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow, Javi.